Good morning, everybody. This morning's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, which is found on page 1087 of the black Bibles in the tables in front of you. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Good morning. How are you? Excellent. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Amy, one of the ministers here at St. Paul's. I am normally here at 10 a.m. church every week, but normally I'm out there with the awesome year 6 to 8 students, so it's nice to be in here with you guys for a change. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want to be in a relationship with us. We thank you that you desire to speak to us from your word right now. We thank you that you delight to hear us speak to you in prayer. And we ask that this morning you would teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you struggle with something, you need help from an expert. When you struggle with something, you need help from an expert. It was late at night. I had just been dismissed from 3 grueling hours of New Testament Greek grammar at Bible College. I was tired. And I'd just begun the long journey home when I heard a loud pop and the car sort of started to thud along the road. And I thought, this isn't good. Luckily, there was a service station up ahead, so I carefully pulled in. Turned out I had run over a big rusty nail. It had popped one of my tires and it was deflating quickly. Well, I didn't want to wait an hour for the NRMA to turn up in the dark on late at night like that. So I thought, I'll try my own hand at changing a tire. How hard could it be? I lugged the spare out of the boot, sat down on the pavement with a toolbox that I swear I'd never seen before, just appeared. I experimented with a few of the tools to see if I could work out how to loosen those knobs that hold the flat tire to the car. But it didn't matter how hard I pulled and pushed and twisted, I couldn't make a single one of those knobs budge. Well, half an hour had passed. I was giving up at this point when a guy came over, a man he'd been filling up his car with petrol, and he said, "I'm a mechanic. Can I help you? Of course, that was fantastic. Yes, you can help me. He picked up a tool that I had discarded within the first 5 minutes. And after a few minutes, I was back on the road. When you struggle with something, you need help from an expert. Have you ever been sick and tried to diagnose yourself? You have some niggling symptoms. You want to get to the bottom of it. You want to find out what's ailing you. So you take a visit to www.diagnoseme.com. The website admits that in some cases, actual laboratory tests may be required to get to the bottom of the diagnosis, but it's fairly confident that with the 900-item questionnaire, you can figure out for yourself what is the cause of your ailments. My husband, Chris, believes that the internet is the answer to everything. And he can also be a tad melodramatic when he has a slight bruise or bump or painful twinge. Well, he recently became convinced that he had a serious, very serious medical condition based on some information he'd read on Wikipedia. It took him a few actual trips to the doctor and a blood test to be convinced that he was actually okay, if only he'd gone to the doctor in the first place. Listen to the wife. When you struggle with something, you need help from an expert. For many Christians, myself included, prayer can be such a struggle. We lack motivation. We can't find the time. We get distracted halfway through. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. We're not sure sometimes what it will achieve. We feel like maybe no one is listening on the other end of the line. We don't always like the answers. And then we're racked with guilt for feeling all those things and for failing in our prayer life. We have our good days, sure, but it's pretty up and down for most Christians in their prayer life. Prayer can be such a struggle. We need the help of an expert. Well, thankfully, Jesus is more than qualified. Because he is the Son of God, he knows exactly how to approach the Father and please him. He understands perfectly the Father's will. And see, he is able to utter the sorts of requests that the Father loves to grant. Because he is a Son of Man, he is sympathetic to our human weaknesses. He knows what it feels like to be tired and busy, and he is fully aware of the temptations we face to be lazy and selfish. Well, in our passage this morning, Jesus gives us a lesson on prayer. He tells us how we should pray. He tells us why we should pray. He tells us what to expect when we pray. So firstly, how should we pray? Jesus gives us an example to follow. He was at it again. He had tucked himself away for focused prayer. And when he had finished praying, one of his disciples urged him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he recited to them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's not a magic incantation that we should just thoughtlessly parrot in church once a month. It's an example that we should use as a heartfelt guide. First, we are taught how to address God in prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Father." Now, this would have been stunning to the first disciples. Stunning. Their Jewish upbringing had left them well schooled in the grandeur of God. They were used to referring to him with titles like glorious creator, sovereign one. But here, they were being told to call God Father, the same title they used to call out to their earthly dads. It was so personal. Yet at the same time, Father, it still acknowledged God's authority over them. So we need not be standoffish with God in prayer, but neither should we be too casual. Before you address God in prayer, it's worth pondering. How can I express both my deep love and my deep reverence for God? Well, second, we are taught two petitions that relate to God. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Now, I don't know about you, but the word "hallow" is not in my regular daily vocab. I can't remember reading it anywhere else before except for in one other fantastic book. Yes, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, of course. If you hallow something, it means that you consider it to be holy, sacred. To pray, "Hallowed be your name," is to pray, "Father, may you be considered holy, sacred. May your name be revered and exalted." It's a prayer for God to act and bring about his own glory in our lives and in the whole world. Well, Jesus also teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come." The day when every knee will bow before the throne of God, when every tongue will confess his kingship, when the whole of creation will be restored in his heavenly kingdom. Jesus said, "It's coming soon." It has begun. It's begun in every person who submits their life to the rule of God right here, right now, but it won't be completely realized until Jesus returns. To pray your kingdom come is to pray, "Father, may your reign be extended even now as more and more people submit their lives to your rule. And come, Lord Jesus, come back so we can be in your heavenly kingdom." It's a prayer for God to act and bring to fruition his kingdom plan. So Jesus teaches us these two petitions that relate to God. But it seems that sometimes we're upside down about prayer. In the 16th century, everyone was all abuzz with this new scientific theory. It claimed that the earth was right in the center of the entire universe. All the other heavenly bodies in the universe rotated and revolved around us. Boy, were they upside down about that. Eventually, it was discovered. We are not even in the center of our tiny little solar system, in the giant Milky Way galaxy, which is just one of billions and billions of galaxies in the known universe. In the same way, sometimes we can be a bit upside down about prayer. In our self-centeredness, even when we know better, we still pray sometimes like everything revolves around us. Sometimes we still treat God like he's our personal genie. We summon him to do our bidding, and our wishes are small and they're kind of just limited to our lives. Please give me a good car spot. Father, please don't let it rain on the Australia Day long weekend. But according to this example, we shouldn't pray about ourselves until we've first prayed about God. Our prayers should reflect a God-centered, self-denying attitude in which we recognize that the goal of the entire universe and the goal of our short lives is simply that God's name be hallowed and his kingdom come. So before you begin to petition God in prayer, it's worth pondering. How can I express a concern for God and his kingdom first? Well, third, we are taught three petitions that relate to us. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us each day our daily bread." Now, the word bread is often used in the Bible to symbolize our basic physical needs, food, shelter, clothing. This is a prayer for God to provide those things. And other passages inform us that we can bring a whole lot of other needs before God too. Our Heavenly Father cares about what's going on in the minute details of our lives. He cares about our burdens and our anxieties, and he delights when we cast them all upon him. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." In uttering these words, we admit that we need God's forgiveness. It's a good thing to spend regular time in prayer confessing your sin. Have you done that lately? Expressing our faith in Jesus, and based on that, asking for forgiveness. And lastly, we got there. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." This is a request for God to lead us away from the things that tempt us and cause us to sin and put us on the path of righteousness. We can pray specifically when we know we're about to enter into a situation where our faith might be tested and our obedience might be tested. So Jesus teaches us to pray, teaches us three petitions that relate to us. We can ask God for his provision, his pardon, and his protection. Before you petition God in prayer, it's worth pondering. How can I express my total dependence on him to meet all my needs? Well, secondly, why should we pray? Jesus gives us a reason for boldness. Now, I used to have a recurring nightmare as a child. I can remember it vividly because I had it all the time and it was awful. I used to have this dream that these huge, vicious wolves were coming out of the bush next to my house and they were on a mission to hunt me down and eat me for dinner. Well, there were times when they'd get as far as my bedroom door before I'd wake up with a jolt. And I, of course, like any child would be, terrified, crying, shaking, unable to sleep. It became my habit to bound into my mother's room, wake her up, and ask her if she can come back and stay with me until I fell asleep again. Well, after time, her patience really wore thin, understandably. She'd get annoyed at me, and instead of bounding into her room, I kind of just creep tentatively, give her a gentle nudge. Didn't want to wake her, didn't want to disturb her. But she'd be grumpy, she'd be reluctant. "Oh, why can't you put yourself back to bed?" But never once did she send me back to bed by myself. Even when she was grumpy, she always helped me in my moment of need. Jesus tells a parable about a similar situation in order to give us a reason for boldness in prayer. Verses 5 to 8. "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine has come on a journey and I don't have anything to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.'" Key verse. "I tell you," Jesus says, "though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Did you get what happens? I had to think long and hard about this one. A host goes to his neighbor in the middle of the night so he can borrow some bread for this unexpected guest. Though the neighbor is irritated by the inconvenient interruption, he does get up and give the host some bread. But he doesn't do it because he's so nice and neighborly. He does it because the host had such a nerve to knock. He was bold enough to ask, and the customs of the time meant that he had to respond. It was the hospitable thing to do, even if he did it grudgingly. So what's the point? When we pray, we are to be like a little child who bounds into their parents' bedroom crying for help. When we pray, we are to be like the host who has enough nerve to pound on his neighbor's door in the middle of the night to ask for bread. We should be as bold as this in petitioning God. Why? God is not like my grumpy mother, nor is he like the irritated neighbor. God is approachable and gracious. More than that, he is ready and he is waiting to hear our prayers. If my grumpy mother responded to my cry for help, if the irritated neighbor responded to the request of the host, how much more will our gracious Heavenly Father respond to our prayers? We should petition him often and with confidence because he will answer. Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, he will answer. So what can we expect when we pray? Number three, Jesus gives us an answer worth trusting. You know, sometimes being told no is for our own good. Sometimes being told no is for our own good. Imagine a child that's sitting at the dinner table every night begging, please, Daddy, please, can I have some ice cream for dinner? Their father answers firmly night after night, no, it's not good for you. It's not healthy. At the time, the child kicks and screams, but I don't want green stuff. I want ice cream. The child pouts and withdraws. You're such a mean daddy. I don't like you anymore. But when they grow up, they learn for themselves that an ice cream diet wouldn't have been good for them. Malnourishment, obesity, diabetes, rotting teeth, maybe death, would have all been in their future. In that instant, their father had said no, but it turned out to be an answer worth trusting. Well, in the same way, our Heavenly Father always gives an answer worth trusting. In our passage, Jesus explains, human fathers are actually evil in comparison to God. And still, they know how to give good gifts to their children. How many fathers here, when your child has asked for some Vegemite toast, have put a stone on their dinner plate instead? How many of you, when your child has asked for a boiled egg, have served up a poisonous scorpion for brekkie? Or what about when your child has begged for a pet fish? Have you ever just put a snake in their lap to play with? You guys know how to take care of your kids. Jesus says, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to us? God is good. He always gives appropriate answers to our prayers. We can trust that his answers never come with malicious intent. He's not out to get us. We can know for sure that what he gives or doesn't give is for the best. Okay, but what about when you ask for something you really think is good and you just don't get it? Like a friend to be saved, or a job so you can provide for your family, or an end to some agonizing suffering. Is God really being good then? A few questions to consider in this situation. Have you asked? It seems obvious, right? But look what James says. You want something, but you don't get it. You do not have because you do not ask God. Have you actually prayed about it? What are your motives? Again, in James, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Is it a self-centered prayer? Is it a need? Is it a greed? Is it in line with God's will? Consider John 16:23. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. When we ask for something, and it's something that Jesus would back us up on, it's something that matches what he wants for us, in line with his character. When it's in line with his will, then the promise is that we will receive it. So, how do we ask the things according to his will. We need to search the scriptures. We need to grow in our understanding of what God wants so we can pray for those things. But it's hard sometimes. Sometimes we just don't know what God's will is in a specific situation. There are details of God's plan for our lives that are simply unknown to us. And when we've asked God for something, something that we think is good, there might be some uncertainty as to whether it's in line with his will. It's worth following Jesus' lead, as always. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his arrest, he expressed an agonizing prayer to the Father. My Father, if it is possible, take this suffering away from me. But he also submitted himself to the will of the Father. Yet not as I will, but as you will. So ask, tell him of your desires and dreams, but submit yourself to his will before your prayer is done. Finally, could it be possible that God knows better? Romans 8, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, this says, not in some things, in all things, even in the bad things, God works for our good, not to deprive us or to hurt us, but to teach us and refine us. Maybe you think you're asking for bread, but God knows it's a stone. Maybe you think you're asking for an egg, but God knows it's a scorpion. Maybe you think you're asking for fish. God knows it's a snake. God knows what is best in a way that we do not. If you have known suffering, deep suffering, then you've probably questioned why. You've probably read this verse and said, how can this be good? Well, the scriptures tell us that sometimes God even fulfills his good purpose through our suffering. The bottom line is, will you trust him? Are you thoroughly convinced of his goodness? Will you accept his answer in the faith that he knows what's best? I'm not pretending this is easy. This is hard. This is really hard. I've known heartache, and as I'm sure many of you here this morning would have known heartache, from praying things for years and years and years and not having it turn out, not having it answered the way that you might have hoped. I know for me, some of those prayers have since been answered with a yes, and I can look back and I can see that the agonizing waiting was actually for a purpose, and I can see that now. Some of those prayers have not been answered with a yes, and I can pray in some situations, thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I asked for, but for what you knew was best. And some of those prayers I continue to bring before God today, even through tears. I've had moments of shaking my fists at God. I've been senseless and doubted his goodness to me, and I've learnt that there's just one place to end up. Go to the scriptures. Align yourself with the word until the truth takes deep root in your heart, and that can take a while, and you have to do it over and over. God is good all the time. Prayer can be such a struggle, but we have help from an expert. He's given us an example to follow, a reason for boldness, and an answer worth trusting. So pray. And if it still seems like a struggle, why not start by asking, Lord, teach me to pray.